Hello, Husker fans. Welcome to episode 251 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvat.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we react to Nebraska's unraveling in Minnesota, and we also hear from you on the Runza Reaction Line.
You can find us on the web at huskerpod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at huskerpod or email us at huskerpod@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals. That's cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know somebody who is? Reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356. Go Big Red! Go Big Red! Justin, before we talk about the game today, do want to point out, I know we don't always do the best job of, you know, celebrating milestones, but 250 episodes is a big deal, and we hit that number last week.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it until midway through the week last week, so yeah, that was kind of cool.
It was something where leading up until us recording, I was like, we should probably talk about that. And then after recording, I was like, oh, hey, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, oh well.
But hey, congratulations, man. We have been on a journey together over the last 7 years.
Oh my goodness. The things we have seen, the suffering we have felt.
I was about to say, the things I wish I could unsee. this past week among those things. Thank you for your commitment over the years to making this thing happen. And obviously, on behalf of Justin, I'm going to say thank you to everybody listening, whether you've been listening from day one or, found us this year or somewhere along the way. We're happy to have you along for the ride. And it means a lot that you all would take your time listening to a couple of fans doing this podcast here. You know, this is the definition of a grassroots podcast. We are literally just a couple of guys just like you who love Nebraska football and love talking about it. So here we are.
Yeah, who knew when we signed up for this back when Mike Riley was getting ready for one last adventure that we'd be getting ready to talk about what looks to be our sixth losing season in 7 years.
Yep.
Sorry to bring it back there.
But, it's a big but, I think. Who would have thought 7 years ago?
I like big buts.
That we'd have number seven at the helm.
I don't know. I don't know what I even hoped for back then. It seems like ancient history.
Oh, boy. You know, despite this week, I still feel like this year is trending in the right direction. As long as Minnesota is an anomaly, I don't know what to say, man. This is such a perplexing season at this point. Because yeah. I think the last few weeks we were ready to say, like, hey, things look to be trending in the right direction. We're probably going to win some games. Looks like we still have bowl eligibility in front of us. That's looking less and less likely at this point.
You look back and you see three wins and the absolute layups. Northwestern is a pretty bad team, so you put them up there with Fordham and Buffalo. And then, was it Buffalo or was it Fordham where we missed out on like three touchdowns or whatever? So it was closer than it should have been. And then these games that there's no gimmies. There's no gimmies in the Big Ten. But Illinois and Minnesota were the most winnable games. Just absolute eggs. Just laying an egg. And it's just inexplicable. And as frustrated as I was in the second half when they didn't get under center and sneak it, when Adrian is just a massive dude and...
Dude, that... Oh, my gosh. When your quarterback is like, what, he's like 6'4"? Well, like, all he has to do is, like, jump.
So when we couldn't convert points, as frustrated as I was in the second half, I think you got to look back at that first half and say... They were completely unprepared. They were completely unprepared to execute basic football, and they basically did everything that you needed to do to set up Minnesota to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm frustrated about some of that stuff in the second half. But to not even show up offensively, to go for what, a negative rush yard and then two incompletions, when the mantra of the day was be effective and efficient offensively. I feel pretty mad right now.
We're 5 minutes in, and there's some vitriol.
There's some bite to your voice, man. I'm telling my son all day today, chill out, buddy. Take a deep breath. And then we make Tanner Morgan, who was like a 52% passer on the year. He was 20 of 24 on the day. Two of those incompletions were interceptions. So only twice did it hit the turf on a pass.
He completed 22 of 24 passes.
Unreal. Yeah. He's been all right in the past, but absolutely unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. What did the defense knew exactly what they were going to do, and if you want to say, if you want to make some sort of excuse about how they played in the first half, the reality is in the second half they did something different and it worked. So,
I knew that this game was in trouble when I, out of earnest desire, turned to somebody in the fourth quarter and I said, I think the only way that this team can win this game is if we get a pick six, because the offense isn't going to score. They just weren't.
Well, and I think I mentioned last week how Gant ran into Martinez on a crucial, third and one, he screwed it up again. He screwed it up again.
I mean, he's a kid, though.
Basic play.
He's a kid. There's a reason he wasn't in at the start of the season. It's probably stuff like that. But if that's the case, why are you giving him the ball in that situation?
Why aren't you under center for that? I mean,
give the quarterback, the four-year starter, the ball.
Who's a really big guy.
Yes.
Who, even...
Even if he reaches over and fumbles it, that's better than what happened.
Well, yeah, that's why it's fourth down. You're losing the ball. You're losing possession
if you don't
get
it
in. Yeah. So just, that's a good point. Just get out there. And he's so big that he can do that. He can hold it tight in the crook of his arm under his armpit and push forward and probably get in, but he can just reach over.
Right.
Touchdown.
Right. And honestly, honest to goodness, I believe there's no shadow of a doubt in my mind that he scored on that prior run.
That's a great point. I agree.
But there's no photographic evidence of it, and so it had to stand. They didn't have anything to prove that it actually went over the line.
I mean, my wife and I rewatched that play like everybody did, and I couldn't even tell where Adrian was. It was such a crappy shot. I don't know why you'd... If we're going to defer to video evidence over the eyes of the refs, but then also lock in... the bad, whatever call the ref has made is now locked in, and you have to have superior, clear video evidence. How do we not have a camera on both sides? How is that not plastered in cameras? It just seems like a basic thing. And, I tweeted something to that effect, and someone's like, well, it's ESPN 2. Like, well, then the school needs to do it.
Yeah, all of these schools are putting millions and millions of dollars into their football programs. They can afford an extra high-definition camera.
paying for in Nebraska, we've got the cash. Let's just get four pylon cameras that we take with us to every away. And let's have six for backups. So I agree. That was a touchdown.
But either way, oh my gosh. People are mad at the officials this week. I'm like, no. Sorry, guys. Nebraska just played a really bad game this week. There's no excuse. There's no what ifs. Like you said, they laid an egg. I don't think there are any excuses for Nebraska this week. They should have won that game, they pooped the bed, as they say.
It's not like the Michigan State where it's like, but for this one insane play, they would have won. No, it's we. When we got things going in the second half, we were clearly superior team. And even Fleck in his post-game press conference, he said we got more skill players. And then he insulted his own players by saying, we're inferior, but we've got culture or whatever. Just such a bizarre person.
That almost makes it seem like my team's bad, but I made him good.
That's a good point. Yeah. I recruited bad players, but then I was good enough to overcome the badness recruited to beat you.
I'm just not a fan.
It's just so aggravating. In the last couple weeks I've been thinking, maybe Adrian does need to stick around for a fifth year, but at this point, God bless the kid. He's given everything. He's provided some really inspirational moments. I'm thinking last year when he got benched and still like pumped up the team on the sideline, came back in. But if people are talking about, I don't think Frost gets fired this year. I think, I don't think he gets fired this year.
Especially with Trev Alberts behind, you know, like, well, I just feel like that relationship, give it some time to develop and then
exactly. Yeah.
Then they can evaluate.
Trev's not given any impression that he would do that, but next year's a really big year. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's not fair to Scott and it's not fair to Adrian for them to be just linked at the hip the whole time. Like let's see a broader sample size from what Scott can do with a quarterback. Let's see more. He's got some guys who's recruited. If we only ever see Adrian, how do we know? You know,
mm-hmm.
I think Adrian's a pretty talented dude, but
you look at that
safety, for example. There's no reason for that to happen.
Yep. So, Justin, for me, that raises the question. Obviously, bowl eligibility is still a possibility.
Uh-huh.
But if it is no longer in the cards, you know, if we lose, what is it, two more games?
We've got four games left, and we need to win three of them. So, yeah.
So if we lose two more games, do you want to see players who are not Adrian Martinez getting some playing time the last couple of games?
Let's cross that bridge later, but I think that's a good point. Hopefully it doesn't come to that, but
that's a good point. Let's not uncount our chickens before they don't hatch.
After watching Purdue upset Iowa, I feel better about beating Iowa and worse about beating Purdue. And of course Purdue is the next game for us after the bye week, so we'll see.
That would be hilarious if we ended up losing to Purdue but beating Iowa. It'd be true Nebraska fashion.
I don't think I would laugh, but you can.
No, I'm laughing now. I would be laugh crying if we lost to Purdue because I'm just over them, man. I am over them.
Yeah, well, hopefully we match up better, but we're not here to talk about Purdue just yet.
Saving it.
hold that thought.
So I don't know if we need to talk about special teams, but, you know, because there's, what is there to say? We've already had this discussion before. Feel absolutely awful for Connor Culp as a human being. Like, this has got to be really rough on him. That footage of him after the game talking to the press was just heart-wrenching, you know? Like, yeah. I believe with there's no shit. I don't have a shadow of a doubt in my mind that he was sincere in what he was saying. Like, I'm trying my hardest. I'm doing my best. I got to do better. It's rough when you give it your all and it's still not good enough. You know, I hope he's okay as a human being over him being okay as a kicker. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. It's, we retweeted out that video and it has really resonated with people. I mean, and that was kind of what was going on in my mind when I saw it. I mean, the guy's fighting back tears and trying so hard to keep it together and trying so hard on the field. They talked about him having a hip flexor injury during the game, which is the first time I've heard anything about that. So I don't know if that's new.
They've talked a little bit about it in recent weeks. Yeah.
Okay. That was for some reason, then that was new news to me.
It was a preseason injury that took him a while to get back into rhythm, apparently.
So that's what's been going on all year then?
Yeah.
I think Sam McEwen had the observation that when he's driving it for distance, he's actually more accurate than when it's a short one and he's just trying to nudge it, trying to just get it in.
Yeah.
That's when he tends to pull it.
Overthinking it, yeah.
I mean, special teams outside of that, fortunately, you don't look at him and say, hey, if we had those 4 points back, we would have won.
Yeah,
I mean, we lost by 7. So that's one nice thing, I guess, is his shortcomings don't swing the game this week. Punting was good. I'm looking at stats
I saw
here.
A little bit of a returned punt this week.
Yeah. Kristoff averaged.
He got about 4 yards, but I was like, hey, we actually had a guy start to run it back.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So Kristoff averaged 48.3 yards on four kicks with a long of 54. And Oliver Martin had one return for 6 yards.
There you go.
And the Minnesota kick returners tried returning two kicks, and neither got out to the 25. So that was, you know, a net loss for them. And their kicker missed a field goal. Mm-hmm. So you take out Connor's missed field goal, missed extra point, and we're maybe ahead there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their kicker had four kicks, averaged 43 yards. So advantage us on punting, advantage us on punt returns. They had 1 for 3 and we had 1 for 6. Advantage us on kick returns because we just fair caught it every single time.
Yep.
So then you got a missed field goal by both of us, and then we missed one field goal. So slight advantage to Minnesota on kick return or on kicking. Yep. So yeah, we won special teams.
So I guess it was worth talking about.
Yeah, and I'm looking at SP Plus here. Or I was. Shoot, it's reloading now. I think that they had a pretty high special teams rating. Mm-hmm. And of course we don't.
And then defense, you know, do we excuse that giant play at the end of the game? I mean, like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's whatever. I mean, if they show up in the first half, it's a whole different game in the second half.
Shows up in the first half.
No, the defense shows up in the. I mean, neither of them showed up in the first half. The first half was up until the final touchdown at the end. There was completely owned.
Yeah, that's a Minnesota. Good point. They had really long effective drives. So,
and we knew that's what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so the offense put the defense in a poor position. But the defense couldn't get off the field. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't do it. Now, I don't know what they changed in the second half. I don't know if it was, you know, a want-to issue. I feel like that's a lame excuse. I feel like these, you know, it's such a senior-led defense that they're very business-like about it, that want-to isn't that big a deal. I feel like there's probably some schematic changes. I'm not going to rewatch the game because I don't want to, but you know, I haven't seen anybody write about that yet, but they did something different in the second half. They allowed 21 points on long methodical drives in the first half, and they allowed 9 points, and one of them was that big explosive touchdown play, run, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And a safety. So that was the only points they allowed in defense allowed in the second half.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about it that way, whatever, it's a big play. You're going to have a big play. Everybody's on scholarship. It's the Big Ten. But just what I can't excuse is whatever happened in the first half on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like the opposite of last week where the offense couldn't get anything done, and then they showed up in the second half in a big way.
I will say, I feel like coming into this season, I feel like we talked a lot about the coaches not making significant adjustments in the third quarter. So this is, you know, delightful to see.
Yeah.
Some progress there. Now we can't close the deal. We put ourselves in such a big hole the first half, but it's progress, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if we get to a bowl game, there's gonna be some big wins. And so that might change how things go in the off season. But if we don't get to a bowl game, and as we've said, we don't think Frost is gone, there's gonna have to be some changes. And
oh yeah.
And so I don't know.
So one question that I think is worth exploring. Can't the Big Ten officials, can they go back and enforce a targeting call after a game? Like, I remember hearing something like that at one point. Like,
I'm not
video
sure,
review.
But that seems like a good idea. I mean, if it's a safety thing, you'd think you could go back.
Yeah.
You're talking about when Ramir got clocked on
that
the goal line.
That was so awful and so egregious and so obvious. I fully expected the replay, you know, somebody in the booth to call something down and say, hey, you need to flag this. And it never happened. That is probably the most inexplicable thing about this entire game to me. When you have a player who leaves the game because of a head injury on a play in which it was very obvious that somebody struck him with the crown of their helmet, why didn't they get flagged? Why was there why wasn't there even discussion about it on the television?
Yeah, the
commentators
even
didn't even say anything about it.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I don't know, Mike. I'm frustrated. I feel like lots of times with these frustrating losses, we work through our feelings here, and then we look to the next game, and we get kind of future oriented, and that usually lifts our spirits. But I don't think we're planning on doing a preview here because of the bye week. So I don't know.
Personally,
kind of a bleak episode.
I think I'm going to speak for most of Husker Nation and say we need this week off, man.
Yeah,
I think this is a season of ups and downs, and you know, so many. Like, my blood pressure has been higher this season during games than the last couple of years, just because we have come so close so many times and then had so many inexplicable things happen this season. It's just been, it's been a roller coaster ride. And I'm ready to take a breather.
Sure. Well, maybe let's take a breather from our conversation and go to the phones.
Good, good, good. And hey, I'm resolving. I've noticed a pattern.
Yeah.
When I introduce calls on this podcast, I'll say something like, all right, let's turn it over to Danny from Omaha. And then the recording will immediately say, hey, this is Danny from Omaha. So
that's true.
Instead of telling you where somebody is, I'm just going to tell you their name as we lead into each recording. So I'm turning over a new leaf. If anybody else was annoyed by that, I apologize. I noticed it, so I'm sure somebody else did. So with that said...
So here's Danny from Omaha.
All right. So with that said, here's Juan from somewhere.
Hey, guys, this is Juan, giving you a call from Omaha here. You know, I think it's just, you know, it's kind of a revolving door right now. You know, obviously this is a frustrating loss. I think Frost has some serious questions to answer, and I think primarily that biggest question should be is, you know, we're on the six-inch yard line. Why are we not under center there? You know, I think our... You know, our play calling offensively is very inconsistent. Our defense, you know, again, in the second half here played really well. Before that last drive there, Minnesota had 3 first downs in the second half. And, you know, when we really needed the ball back, we couldn't get it back again in the second half there. So, you know, obviously very frustrating. You know, trying to keep a positive attitude. We have a bye week to get healthy and, you know, obviously look towards Purdue. So, I think a lot of Husker Nation is feeling exactly how I am, very exhausted and disappointed in these close games. All right, thanks, guys.
Hey, Juan, thanks for the call. Yeah, I feel like Juan is feeling the same way we are. Mm-hmm. A lot of similar observations here. And I think Husker Nation is pretty united at this point. We're just sick of it and frustrated and... And it's all amplified because most everybody wants Frost to succeed. You know, there's certainly those jerks that want him to fail because they're sick or something. But we all want Frost to succeed, so I think that makes it even harder is because it's a favorite son here. I mean, we've talked about it before. Yeah. But anyway, thanks for the call, Juan.
Yep. It has been an interesting season in terms of how the fan base has talked about our head coach, because after the first game, there were people who were just over it. And in the last couple of weeks, I've seen a lot more people saying, like, I stand behind our coach. He's finally turning the ship. Things are heading in the right direction. It'll be interesting this week to see how people are talking about it again. Like, are we going to be that wishy-washy about it? I don't even know if that's the right way to describe it. But are people going to flip-flop right away to saying, get rid of Frost again? Like, I feel like at this point, you can't just be like, every time we lose, get rid of him. And then every time we win or like do something that's like has a glimmer of hope, people are like, oh, well, he's our coach. I stand behind him. I hope probably those are different people. But like, I don't know. If you're a fan, like, let's just ride this thing out. I do think it's kind of silly when people are like, well, Tom Osborne, he was given 20 plus years. I'm like, eh, different situation. Like, I don't know if I want to give Scott Frost 20 years, but you know, maybe 10, you know, if things are trending in the right direction the next couple of years.
The original contract was 7, so
yeah.
That seems like a lot. To your point about people being engaged, I don't know about you, but I feel like our just interactions on social media are indicative of a fan base that is still engaged, and I'm mm-hmm. guessing that's going to tail off this week.
Yeah.
But through this last week, Nebraska fans And, you know, we've, as we said, this is our 251st episode. We've covered a lot of seasons. We've done a bunch of disappointing seasons. And there's usually a point where people are still watching the game and maybe still downloading the podcast, but they're not interacting anymore. They're just fried. And I feel like Nebraska fans have been really engaged this year with us.
Yeah, for real.
Especially after the COVID year. Yeah. So I'll be curious to see if that tails off this week because of the nature of this loss.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we should put this in here. I'm just going to speak candidly. If this makes it onto the episode, great. If not, Justin and I, we don't toot our own horn when it comes to download numbers or anything like that. But
I don't even look at them anymore. Yeah,
but it is funny to me to just when I log in to our dashboard and you see those peaks for each time we release a new episode. There, without fail, at the start of the season, there's so many downloads. And the second we lose a game, it's just like,
yeah,
it's like, oh man. But you know, this year it's kind of been a little bit up and down, and yeah, we'll see what happens this week. So we need to bring back our trivia episode. That's what people are waiting for.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're gonna do it this bye week.
But yeah, not this week. But
hey, let's keep moving here.
Okay, so here is Jeremy, also from somewhere.
You can't help yourself.
Hey guys, it's Jeremy in Minnesota again, Vegas Jer. I'm at a loss for words. It's been a stellar week. I got COVID on Wednesday, and now I get to spend another year in Minnesota with all these Gopher fans after just an awful loss. Not much I can say other than how do we not score 3 times inside the 5-yard line? Why can't we find a kicker who can kick extra points? Probably Adrian's worst game of the year. But on the bright side, we did donate more money to Team Jack. So we can hang our hat on that. Have a great day, guys. Go Big Red.
Well, first and foremost, Jeremy, Justin and I wish you all the best. Quick, speedy recovery, full recovery. Hopefully you're back on 2 feet in no time and in the best health possible. Sorry to hear about that. Also sorry that you live in Minnesota. yeah, thanks, man, for pointing out the Team Jack fundraiser.
So yeah.
We gave a little push for the Broken Chair Trophy this past week. I'd like to think that we were somewhat instrumental in that just complete blowout of that goal, man. They rocked it this year.
Yeah, I usually they kind of stop counting or stop counting contributions towards the competition. And even if they keep going, it's a blowout. So Minnesota raised $17,213.38 and Nebraska raised $25,433. The goal for both schools, both fundraisers, was $10,000. So they just destroyed both goals. Nebraska had 309 donors. I can't really see that here. That number here on the Minnesota one, but that's a lot of people. That's great. Congratulations, dude, to the charity, the Broken Chair folks. You guys did a really good job.
$25,000 is not insignificant. Oh my gosh, that's huge, man.
You get another $5,000 awesome gift, you could start an endowment.
There you go. Somebody, it's not too late. It could be you.
There was a couple of really big gifts for Nebraska that, but even without them, I think we still win. Yeah. So that's great. I think it's maybe the first time we've ever won that.
It's possible. It's certainly the first time that we've ever crossed like 15 or even 20,000. So for it to go 25, that's great. So anywho, thanks again, Jeremy. Next up is Ken.
Hey guys, it's Ken from Grand Island. I'm a truck driver. I was on my way to Valley to pick up a load, listening to the game, hoping it would be a better one, but obviously not. I am not exactly sure what it was I listened to today. It sounded eerily similar to Illinois in that it was just a giant steaming pile of poo, I guess would be a good word. It just wasn't good. I'm not sure what to think anymore of this team, that they play so well against top 10 teams, and then they can't get out of their own way against a team that they clearly have better athletes than in Minnesota. So 30-23. Wow, how ironic. The first game was 30-22. So I guess we're 1 point better in a game that we played every bit as crappy in as we did against Illinois. I guess that's a good way to console ourselves. And hey, Chris punted the ball well. So we've got that going for us, I guess. Anyway, guys, thanks for the great podcast. Hopefully you can help bring those of us who are so depressed a little bit of cheer as you cover this game. And anyway, thanks again, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Thanks for the reaction line. It's very therapeutic for folks like me. And anyway, God bless you guys. Talk to you again in 2 weeks. Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to the break, too. So, later.
Thanks for the call, Ken. I hope we're cheering you up. It's going through these calls and hearing from y'all is it's nice to talk to other people. No offense, Mike. It's nice to hear from others. And
none taken.
Yeah, so that's funny. I did not catch that, how close this score was to the Illinois game.
Yeah, I'll do one better. Feels like we're playing The Price is Right with our season at this point. But, yeah, I'm right there with you, Ken. I'm ready for this break. Ready to just have a Saturday where, once again, like I was saying, my blood pressure just stays with an even keel. Maybe go for a walk. Enjoy some fresh autumn air. Use the time wisely. Godspeed to all of you who are going to weddings next weekend.
We're doing yard work here at the Swanson household.
Mm.
You want to come help?
No. No, I do not.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to think. What's that, the 23rd?
Yeah.
I have no reason to not come help you then, because I can't think of anything.
I'll feed you.
Yeah. But no, I'll probably go for a longer bike ride. I've been starved for just getting on my bike last few weeks.
Yeah, this last week I had a hard time getting out for runs for whatever reason. There was just a lot going on, and yeah, I hear you. I saw the cheetahs run at the Lincoln Zoo. That was cool.
Oh, that's really cool.
10:30 every morning. Took the kids. Had a day with the kids, and that was pretty exciting. They're fast. The cheetahs, not the kids. I mean, the kids are fast, but not as fast as cheetahs.
Right. Don't they have some cats in the Lincoln Zoo that are under the weather right now?
Is that correctly? Oh, yeah, the tigers. So this was Tuesday.
Yeah.
And there were no tigers to be seen. And then we found out, I think the next morning, that they have COVID.
Yeah. Crazy.
So they didn't wear their masks or get the vaccine. So that's.
Didn't they say early on that, like, you don't got to worry about your pets? I think I remember hearing something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I remember that was something said early, but then I remember some New York City Tigers got it as well pretty early on. So.
I think I had initially heard something about some cats in California. So anyway, before we move on, I do want to thank again Juan, Jeremy, and Ken. All three of you this week are going to get a free Runza combo coupon from Runza to be used at Runza. Where else would you use a Runza coupon?
Also,
it's
from
a Runza coupon.
We're gonna mail them out.
Yeah. Have you seen those awful rewards app commercials on the television that are extremely obnoxious, and they have an extremely obnoxious comedian whose last name is Oswald?
I haven't seen those.
You have.
They get to you, huh?
I am not a fan. But, anyway, but yeah, you know, all three of you guys, you're getting yourself a coupon this week. Sometimes we just decide to you know, go a little bit off script. We're trying to cheer everybody up, especially Jeremy. You know, get some comfort food in your belly the next time you come to Nebraska. I don't know. Are there any Runzas in Minnesota? I don't think there are.
No, I don't think so, no.
So, but, you know, once you're feeling well again, come on back to Nebraska.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
Right. So, thanks, guys.
Well, I think with that, normally we would start looking at our next game, which is Purdue. But with the bye week, I think we'll just save that. And they've got a big game against Wisconsin next week. They're currently sitting at, what, 4-3, 4-2? Is that right? Yeah, 4-2. I thought, yeah, 4-2. And we're currently favored in that matchup, according to FPI. But let's just see what happens here.
Right.
In the next week or so. So I guess I'll leave you with Nebraska's SP Plus numbers, which I'm a little perplexed by. You got a guess as to how we trended?
I mean, if I were to guess, I'd say everything down.
All right, me too. Overall,
let me rephrase that. Except for based on our discussion, maybe special teams up a little bit.
Yeah, that's, I mean, those are the things I would guess. So here's what actually happened.
Sounds like it's the opposite.
Yeah, overall, we went up one spot to 23, which I guess
because that other makes teams sense.
Lost.
Yeah.
Offensively, we went up two spots to 28. Defensively, we went down three spots to 29. And special teams dropped four spots to 126.
I'm sure that missed point after has a lot to do with that.
That's true. PATs are just, you just got to get those.
Yeah.
You know what else? You know what else you got to get?
You got to get some bison in your fridge.
Or your freezer.
Get yourself ready for the holidays. Who says you have to eat turkey on Thanksgiving? I say anybody who tells you you have to eat turkey is a turkey.
Ooh.
Get yourself some bison steaks. You're going to be happier in the end.
Are you going to do like the, you'll like the way you look, I guarantee it?
Yeah, well, you know, I was about to say, you know, I'm not a food scientist, but I would venture that there's probably less tryptophan in a bison steak.
Mm.
But I am not an expert. I'm not going to make that claim. Consult your physician. But at the same time, like, I've always found the whole tryptophan thing kind of silly. It's like, maybe you're not sleepy because you ate turkey. Maybe you're sleepy because you ate enough food to last 3 days, and now you need to take a nap because you need to digest.
So I'm here at the online order section.
Thanks for keeping it on topic, Justin.
CNBuffalo.com, you bet. And it looks like they've got the original bison hot dog recipe on here that they've... we've been talking about the last few weeks, and they've got some steak boxes and some family boxes. They got all kinds of stuff. And yeah, with the holidays coming up, supply chains are jacked up. Get your stuff figured out now.
Yeah. For real. You know, I don't want to be a doomsday kind of guy, but like, you know, they're talking about how there might not be as much food on the shelves this fall and into the winter, or, you know, product in general. But you know who's not going anywhere?
Monty Rohde?
Central Nebraska Buffalo isn't going anywhere.
Oh, sorry,
they can still put food on your plate. But at the same time, if you need to go somewhere, whether it's into a new home or maybe to downsize or... yeah, whatever your real estate needs might be, Monty Rohde is your man.
Monty is a licensed real estate agent located in Nebraska, and he is able to help you sell or buy a home.
Like we've said before, even if, you know, it's something where you're like, we're thinking about maybe in the next year or two, you know, we're going to be having more kids, so it's time for us to think about upsizing, getting into a bigger home for the kids to be able to run around, get a bigger backyard, that kind of thing. It's not too early to start that conversation, so reach out to Monty today so you're not surprised and scared and make a rash decision in the future. You want to be prepared? Reach out to Monty, 402-770-3356.
Do it. I just feel like we can squeeze
as
many. We can squeeze as many commercial references that don't apply to our current sponsors in as possible, and tie them to our sponsors.
What are some local businesses that are now gone that we can make reference to? The only thing that's come to mind for me is they weren't local, but Showbiz Pizza. Did you ever go to Showbiz Pizza?
No, just Chuck E. Cheese. I don't remember.
Okay. Showbiz. Chuck E. Cheese here in Omaha used to be Showbiz Pizza.
Okay. Like, was there a jingle or something that...
No. I mean, they had the Rockafire explosion, which was awesome. Way better than Chuck E. Cheese, but yeah.
Appearing tonight on three stages at Showbiz Pizza Place, the Rockafire explosion. Summer vacation is real as well.
Greatest fresh baked pizza made to order.
Over 60 new games and rides.
Did you know that Chuck E. Cheese here in Omaha, they don't have animatronics anymore? It's just like a big arcade type thing. It's like a kid's version of Dave and Buster's.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's kind of lame if you ask me.
I think they might have closed the Chuck E. Cheese in Lincoln.
Do you remember Laser Quest?
Yeah.
Dang. I loved Laser Quest.
That was pretty cool.
They were great. They didn't have a jingle either. Does De Leon's have a jingle?
Eat the burrito and be happy.
Bye, week.
I had a good burrito at 132nd and Q.
Okay.
The other day. I was just in town real quick.
I'm trying to think, what's at 132nd
It's a food truck.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you see the new Pepper Jacks at 132nd and Center by any chance?
No, I was on Q.
Okay. I'm a little upset.
Why?
It's brand new Pepper Jacks. They got rid of the line. Now you place your order and they make your food in the back and then it comes out to you.
Oh, that's disappointing.
So no more preparing your food right in front of you. I don't know if I'm going to keep going to that one. I hope the one out west is still going to have the line. I think that's part of the charm. I think that's part of the
experience. Yeah, as they say, Mike, vote with your feet.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
So I saw the movie Free Guy last night.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
It was all right. It was fun. I think that they actually did a better job with the concept than Spielberg did with Ready Player One, honestly.
I haven't seen that one either.
Oh. Ready Player One, skip the movie, read the book.
Okay.
The movie is wildly different than the book. Out of necessity, I think the book would be a much better like Netflix series, you know, like an 8-hour thing that they just couldn't do in a movie, you know.
So. Speaking of, I watched the first three episodes of Squid Game.
Okay, people keep talking about that.
I just don't understand why everybody's so excited. I mean, it's kind of like a Hunger Games type deal, and
from what I've heard, is it like ultra violent? Like, I don't know if I want to do that.
It's fairly violent, yeah.
I don't like violence.
I mean, I felt Game of Thrones was worse.
Okay,
but it was interesting, but it doesn't really feel all that fresh, and they really spoon feed you. Like, something will happen. So, this is like a 60-minute episode. Something will happen in the first 10 minutes that, you know, comes up later, and that person has to make a decision. And they literally show you like a 10-second flashback. I was like, I remember. Like, I just watched that. You don't have to show me. I'm not that stupid.
Right.
So, I just
haven't. Well, maybe that's why the masses are really into it.
Oh, maybe. So anyway, maybe if anybody's listening and has watched the last six episodes and you're like, no, Justin's amazing, you need to follow, then okay, I will, but
it's like me with the Clone Wars. People are like, it gets really good right around the fourth season. It's like, you mean I gotta watch three seasons of garbage? Like,
I mean, if you watched Parasite, which is also Korean and it deals with themes of people in the struggling economically, like, it's just a lot of similar stuff. So anyway, that's my thought.
Okay.
Yeah. Life's too short to watch.
I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah. You know, it's been interesting to see like how people just get onto these little binge fads with Netflix. Because like Squid Games right now, I tried to watch Tiger King after its thing. I think I may have actually said this on the podcast before. I tried to watch it. I watched one episode. It was like, this is nothing. Like, why were people freaking out over this? Like, yeah, it's kind of a train wreck, but like, I got better things to do with my time.
You know, I never did watch it.
From the one episode I watched, I can see how it's something that if you have literally nothing else to do, you might like
and race through it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that was kind of my conclusion. Is like, man, people were really bored at the start of the pandemic.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, but anywho.
On that note.
On the note of boring people, maybe we should end this thing.
I'm sure they're already bored. I'm shocked if they're still listening.
If you are, the first person to tweet the word McClunky at us this week gets a free Runza coupon.
Okay, deal.
All right.
And the first person, if you know the reference, is it like another?
No.
Okay. If you know the reference, it's like invisible bonus points. Okay.
Wait, okay. Tweet the word McClunky at us and tell us what it's from.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay. Got it.
So you're saying to get the Runza coupon, you both have to be the first person to tweet at... You have to be the first person to successfully tweet at us.
And know what the heck we're talking about.
And understand the reference. Got it. It's pretty niche, Mike. It's pretty niche. But we might have talked about it on the show in the last couple of years.
We probably have. At least I didn't go with an earnest reference. Only the true
fans will know.
The seventh son of the seventh son. He's the baby and he's the boy.
The dark is rising?
I'm losing you. A third shadow is nigh. That's a deep
cut
there. The
seventh son of the seventh son. Is that... it's like children... A book from grade school?
I don't know now.
Because I read something like that in the last several months. Or is that just a thing that...
Maybe it's... I just thought it was a reference to Ernest Scared Stupid, which I'm stupidly excited to watch next week.
I wonder if that's probably too scary for my kids.
I bet your eldest could watch it. It might mess Ernest up. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. The seventh son of a seventh son is a concept from folklore regarding special powers given to or held by such a son.
Huh. Well, there's Ernest for you.
Regional variations. Ireland. The seventh son of the seventh son is gifted as a healer.
Interesting.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
In some Latin American countries, the seventh son is believed to be cursed to be a werewolf.
Oh gosh. Well, in Ernest Scared Stupid, it meant he was the chosen one who would defeat the troll that has kept its grip on Briarville. But anyway.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
McClunky. Anyway,
here we are. Oh, boy.
All right.
Go Big Red, Mike. I don't want to edit this stuff, so I'm probably going to leave most of it in this week.
That's fine. Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
The Husker Football Fan Podcast is an unofficial, non-commercial podcast and is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. The views expressed on this podcast belong solely to the individuals expressing them. The Husker Football Fan Podcast is not endorsed by or affiliated with the Nebraska Cornhuskers or the University of Nebraska.